let's fly away.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you very much for your attention, and now we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the takeoff. The captain has made tell.
816 at K-Fire, Phil Parker Show. It's True Travel Tales. Jay Ratliff on the line as we begin 2020. Happy New Year, Jay.
And to you as well. Thank you.
And did you get to do any traveling over the holidays?
Well, you know, I lost my voice the week of Christmas, and I was pretty much trying to nurse it back to health. I had a three-hour radio show that was filling in for our friends over at WLW in Cincinnati. So fortunately, the Friday after Christmas, I got about 70% of my voice back. Allowed me to limp through that. So, yeah, I celebrated the new year by getting my voice back.
Well, and that's a good way to do it, Ed. And Santa brought you your voice, finally.
He did.
Better late than never.
There was no, you know, Brady Bunch Christmas with me getting it the next morning, but I eventually got it back, and for that I was very pleased.
Well, first of all, Jay, first off, what's the latest on emotional support madness?
Well, let's see. The madness continues. We continue to see, especially over the just completed record holiday travel season for Christmas and the new year, as many, if not more, emotional support animals than we'd ever seen. I was on a couple of stations yesterday where the hosts were traveling, and they saw nothing but animals, and they said, you know, when will this madness end? And I said, it's not. It's only going to get worse, and we can thank the Department of Transportation for that, because as you and I have discussed before, airlines were left to their own to decide what is and what is not an emotional support animal. Finally, the airlines started putting in their own rules and regulations, and our friends at the Department of Transportation stepped in August to try to help, and that's when they came out with the rules that basically said only dogs, cats, and the miniature horses that are the emotional support animals are allowed to fly. Airlines used to require that we gave them a 2 or 3 day notice so that they could basically check the paperwork to make sure things are legit. And the DOT said, no, we can't do that because we're discriminating against people with disabilities who have needs for last moment travel. Somebody has an emergency, they need to be allowed to go. And the DOT made it even better by saying some of these individuals may need to travel with as many as 3 emotional support animals each. And that, of course, is lunacy, because I can't imagine somebody with 2 emotional support horses that weigh about 300 pounds apiece. But if you show up at Delta Airlines, United Airlines ticket counter, they cannot refuse you because it's a disability issue and they're not going to do that. They will kick passengers off before they will prevent you from boarding that airplane.
Jay, when does this happen, or has this been tested yet with someone who can claim a severe allergy to the dogs or the horses or what have you?
Oh, it's happened. There was a gentleman on an American Airlines flight in Dallas, seated in his first class seat when a woman plopped down next to him with her emotional support dog. He basically said, look, this is something that can send me into shock. I can't sit here. The flight attendants basically said, you can go to the back of the aircraft or you can get off. Now, this was a gentleman that was an African American. He said, no, wait a minute. You're discriminating against me. No, they're not. This is how everybody's treated. But he was escorted off the plane.
So now who wins the battle? Because I know they won't allow peanuts. If someone has emotional support peanuts, will they be allowed on the plane with the peanuts, even if someone has an allergy?
Well, those individuals, many times they'll deny boarding as well, because that's something that is health-related. You can die as well from that as some of these people with the allergy, severe ones, to some of these animals. But the animals come first. And to me, it's something that is just absolutely ridiculous that we continue to have the discussion, because there are people that obviously are, you know, bending the rules, breaking the rules, going online, buying a $40 vest and all the fake credentials so they can slap that vest on their dog and take the 63-pound dog with them when they fly in the cabin versus paying to have it in the underhand or the cargo facility on board the aircraft. And it's really a shame, because the small percentage of individuals who travel who desperately need these emotional support animals are trying to endure this situation with so many other people that are taking advantage of the situation. And now the frontline agents for the airlines are forced, among everything else they're doing, to look at the paperwork to try to determine if it's legit or not. They have no way of knowing it, and it's unfair for us to put them in that situation. And if you recall, the Federal Aviation Administration was conducting tests last month on the emergency evacuations to see if they could still get everybody off the airplane in 90 seconds or less because we have more seats on airplanes than we've ever had before, and these rules are, you know, somewhat dated. And I contacted the Federal Aviation Administration, and I said, hey, during these tests, are you going to have emotional support animals?
Yeah.
And they said, no. We're afraid that they will get hurt, so we don't have children, we don't have people with disabilities, we do not have emotional support animals, because in the rush of the drills, because they are somewhat realistic, when they drop the lights, it's completely dark, half the exits are blocked, and they fill up the cabin with smoke to get everybody off that airplane. And I'm saying, well, then how in the world can we have a real-life example if we have no kids, no disabilities, and no animals? Well, they have people act like kids. They have people that act like they have disabilities. But until they throw in those emotional support dogs, cats, and horses, I mean, can you imagine a 300-pound horse jumping off of an airplane onto an evacuation
line? Unreal. No. Yeah,
it's going to require somebody getting hurt or killed before there's a dose of common sense that enters this conversation, because right now that's absent.
Jay, we often talk about security inside the airport, different checkpoints and different, you know, funny stories, whatever it may be. What are you looking at going forward for outside the airport in terms of safety and security, the airport tarmac?
Well, there's two things that concern me. One is the fact that we have very little resources from a monetary standpoint being diverted to security outside the airport. Many times, and I'm talking about, you know, the Evansville, Indiana's, the Bismarck's, the outstations, if it's Minot, North Dakota, whatever it happens to be. I'm not talking about the Chicago's, the Minneapolis's, but the smaller airports that have these planes that remain overnight. You know, you're talking about an 8-foot fence with no trespassing that somebody could easily scale. And unfortunately, we have stories every year of people that are found wandering across the ramp, people that try to stow away on airplanes, people that are on board the airplane in the cabin just sitting because they were able to, you know, get past that security checkpoint. To me, that is an incredibly important aspect to aviation security, and we're doing very little. Plus, some of these airplanes have some significant fuel amounts already on board, and you're talking about somebody that could basically try to steal one of these airplanes, use it as they would like. Many times we could not have a military response quick enough if somebody wanted to use an airplane at a nearby, you know, whatever target that they were trying to impact. The other thing I'm really concerned about, and I've had this concern for the last 15 years, are the number of agents and people on board on the ramp that are not screened before they have access to that aircraft. We have 1 million people a month that have access to airplanes on the tarmac that are not screened. They go through a 10-year background check. Many airports have a random check where occasionally they'll pull somebody off to the side as they're about to enter the security area and say, we're going to give you screening, but they don't screen everyone. And they don't do it every time, every day. Now, there are a few airports that do, such as Atlanta and Miami. Atlanta had to start it because they discovered a gun smuggling ring that was going on with some Delta agents that had guns going from Atlanta to New York. They said, we've got to stop this, and they started screening their employees as they needed to do. The vast majority of their airports, not being done, which means you have people that are being paid minimum wage who could be convinced to put, you know, guns, drugs, whatever it happens to be, money on board a flight or something even far worse. And then, of course, if something happens, the outcry is going to be, why in the world didn't we do something on this? And, you know, other than five or six airports around the country, we're simply not doing it, and that needs to change.
All right, True Travel Tales, Jay Ratliff. And if you want to find out more about travel or maybe a thing or two about stocks, Jay, they can find you online.
We love stocks. We used one yesterday for 15%. I think it took us 4 minutes. But, yeah, jratliff.com is the easiest way to get a hold of me. Any stock questions, and especially the really, really good travel stories, I love to read them. So if you got a good one, let me know. And always remember, if you've got a complaint against an airline, go to dot.gov. File your complaint with the government, not with the airline. You'll get a much faster response.
All right, Jay. Hey, thanks so much, Jay.
Have a great day.
Happy New Year. It's 8-